I'm calling this meeting to order of the Matanuska Sioux Sitna Borough School District School Board meeting. Madam Clerk, do we have a quorum?
Yes, we have a quorum with all board members present.
Member Dearman, can you read the board goals?
Matanuska Sioux Sitna Borough School District Vision, Mission, Beliefs, Values, Goals, and Objectives. Vision: Matsu Borough School District will be a model of excellence in teaching, learning, and engaging all students. Mission: Matsu Borough School District prepares students for success. Beliefs: We believe that all students can and want to learn. Success breeds success. The needs and best interests of students drive all decisions. Stakeholders' participation is crucial to student success. Core values: stewardship, accountability, empathy, quality, integrity, efficiency, respect, collaboration, commitment. Goals: We will improve student success, achievement, and performance by focusing on their career and college readiness. We will increase the graduation rate. Our schools will welcome families and community members in the education of our youth. We will create and maintain a safe and healthy environment for our students and staff. Annual objectives, accountability, assessed by quarterly metrics and timelines.
Thank you. We'd like to ask Tobin Hushauer from Palmer Junior Middle School to lead us in the pledge, please.
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection of moving the agenda forward? Seeing no objection, we will move right on to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk.
Under the agenda item, persons to be heard on non-agenda items, the following guidelines apply. The speaker states his or her name for the record. The speaker is limited to 3 minutes per meeting. The speaker is limited to non-agenda items. Agenda items will be open for public comment as they appear on the agenda. The speaker's comments should be appropriate for all audiences, including school-age children. The speaker is limited to comments of a general nature, positive or negative, which may not be attributed to any specific individual. Issues involving concerns specific to any single individual should be submitted in writing and given to the board clerk to be resolved. The issue may be determined to be appropriate for persons to be heard, or may be handled in executive session, or may be routed through a more appropriate complaint process. No disturbance or willful interruption of any board meeting shall be permitted. Persistence by an individual or group shall be grounds for the chair to terminate the privilege of addressing the meeting. The board may remove disruptive individuals and order the room cleared if necessary. This is not a question and answer time. Speakers may be referred to the superintendent or designee or take the issue under advisement. We have a maximum of 1 hour per meeting, and this is the first half hour. And there are no names on the list.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and speak on non-agenda items? All right, seeing no one, we will move on to administrative reports. Dr. Paramo.
Thank you, Madam President. I wanted to share this evening some progress made on one of the board goals to reach out to community in regard to input with the board. Currently set up in avenues for which our public can participate in meetings. As you know, our borough is 25,000 square feet, or square miles rather, not square feet. And it's difficult for many families to get here to testify. So this is our first meeting where we have telephonic testimony. We passed that board policy 9323. I want to let our listening audience know that the call-in number is 855-841-7441. It's also on our website to get more information. And the telephonic testimony phone line opens 30 minutes prior to the meeting for folks to call in and get into a queue, and then we call them back so they don't have to wait. But it is, again, on action items, so we're happy to announce that. It's our first meeting, not sure if anyone will do it. And of course, at all regular school board meetings, we are broadcasted on Radio Free Palmer, KVRF 89.5. Live streaming is also available at our website on the school board page. So there's quite a few avenues for that outreach, and I want to thank Luke Volpe and his folks in our IT department for assisting and getting this going. And so I appreciate it. If it's a little rocky this evening, it is our first meeting for which telephonic testimony can be taken on action items. Thank you.
All right, I don't see anyone here from borough and city. Oh, I'm sorry. We do have a borough report. Is that going to go under your? Okay. We'll put you under Dr. Pramo's report. Thank you. So seeing no other borough and city reports, we'll move down to the Student Advisory Board representative report. Member Williams.
Hi, the Student Advisory Board has had two meetings since our last school board meeting. We've been fairly busy. First off, we want to thank the school board for the ability to, the school board and the district office for hosting us for our joint meeting with the Anchorage Student Advisory Board. It's a tremendous opportunity for students to meet with students from Anchorage and to come together and discuss issues such as what's the most successful part of your school district. We heard a lot about a lot of cool programs in Anchorage, things we want to bring back to our own schools, to our own student advisory board, areas of improvement within our school district, how we can come together to identify issues between the two, the largest area in the Alaska, and then how we as student representatives can serve our students better within our school and within our school district. So it was a really amazing opportunity. The entire time was just discussion and getting to know our counterparts in Anchorage. Kind of interesting to compare boards. So we are taking things from them and they're taking things from us. And then yesterday we had a meeting where we updated our constitution and bylaws, and we actually voted to have a middle school rep on our executive board, so our executive board will not just be high schoolers. So, and then our next meeting is on March 31st at Teeland Middle School from 9 a.m. to noon. So you're all welcome to come join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Williams. Dr. Pramo.
Thank you, Madam President. At this time, I'd like the assistance of Jeff Walden, a project manager from the Mat-Su Borough, to share the monthly bond update. Thank you.
Good evening, Dr. Pramo, Ms. Poucher, fellow school board members. I'm Jeff Walden here for your monthly construction update. Just an overview tonight. What I'll be talking to will be the review of school bond projects that are completed, update on projects in progress, and status of upcoming projects. This list is the same list you saw last month, so no new projects have been added to this. Willow was the last entry for the last meeting. Large projects in progress. I did add Frontera's Spanish Immersion School to this, since this is going to be in our lap here very soon, so I thought I'd go ahead and add that to this update. And I'll also change the title of our monthly update to construction update versus a bond update, since we seem to have a mix of bonds, grants, now alone. So I'll cover anything that I think you guys might want to be aware of. Career Tech Edition is 80% complete. Everything is going fantastic at that site, and we are well on our way to be open for the 2015 school year. Here's a couple of pics to illustrate kind of where we are. One's on the left, there's the classroom, and the other one's the laboratory. Joe Reddington, we're at 75% complete. Same there, very happy with progress there, and we're well on our way also there for 2015 school year opening. Some of our project managers aren't going to the photography field, but these pictures give you an idea of kind of where we're at as far as finishes. On the left there is a tiled restroom, and on the right's a basketball hoop that's installed. And I also might add on Reddington, the school bond or the access bond project will be advertised this April for construction this summer. So when school opens, we'll have good access to the school site. Athletic field improvements, the remaining work was advertised. We received 5 bids March 2nd. Those bids are under evaluation right now. We expect to award a contract April 21st. And the reason we're having to wait until April 21st is because our finance director is selling bonds right now. We expect those bonds to be appropriated that night, April 21st. So the April 21st will be a big assembly meeting. Dena Elementary is advertised for construction right now. Bids are due March 11th, and that will also be going to the assembly on April 21st. Iditarod Elementary School is also advertised right now. Bids are due March 25th, and that also will be going to the assembly on April 21st. Fronteras Charter School, this is a $6.9 million loan funded by the USDA Rural Development. The assembly also approved $500,000 for offsite utilities and access. And the reason for that is the USDA loan will not pay for any improvements that are not on the site. We anticipate using a design build delivery method. What this means is we won't be going out for a design contract and then subsequently advertising that design. It'll be an RFP for design and construction of the school. We anticipate proposals advertised this spring, summer, and occupy that school in 2016. And there are some variables there with getting that loan finalized, but the money is set aside for the school, so now it's just a matter of meeting the USDA requirements. To give you an idea of the location of this school, the block on the top left corner, which is lot one, that is the location of the Fronteras Spanish Immersion Charter School. How we access it will be yet to be determined, but right now what we plan on doing is using that $500,000 to go down Seward Meridian, and we've already been in touch with DOT, and we are working with DOT to make sure our efforts coordinate with their efforts when they install a new highway. To the right is the Matsu Day School, and then to the bottom of the day school lot there is the existing school maintenance yard. Additional projects, the backup generators are currently advertised for construction. We expect bids March 16th. A base bid on that, I wanted to reiterate this because I misspoke last meeting. The base bid is Wasilla Middle, Wasilla High, and Palmer High. However, all locations are included as an additive alternate. So if the bids come in lower than we expect, then we can add schools as we see fit to the budget. Restroom renovation and wash basins. That work will occur over the summer break. Big Lake Elementary renovation, that was advertised. This is phase two. Stantec was selected. We don't have a contract with them yet, but that contract is in the process of being executed. This design will include the flooring, lighting, and some IT projects, and we expect that work to occur this summer. ADA upgrades district-wide, we are 100% designed. Matter of fact, I got bid documents today, so we expect to advertise that probably next week, and that'll be advertised into April with work starting this summer. Houston High School exterior upgrades is in progress. They're expected to be done by the end of this month. It's been taking longer than we thought, so hopefully they are done this month. District-wide energy upgrades. We completed the initial survey. This work will involve lighting and window replacement primarily. Right now what we're doing is prioritizing the work that's involved with the school district, because $3.1 million, if you can imagine, when you visit the entire district, you can easily come up with twice that amount of work. So we've identified what needs done. Now we're going to prioritize what we can do with the available budget. And that same concept applies for the HVAC upgrades. And that work will primarily involve building control upgrades. the roof projects, which is leftover money from the previous bond. All roofs have been surveyed. We expect this work to occur this summer. We initially thought we'd be lucky to get the top three or four schools on this list, and it's looking very promising that we may get maybe the top six. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Member Larson.
Sorry, excuse me. On the Frontieris, $6.9 million, I realize the school district has absolutely nothing to do with the design build. I know when Birch Tree built a design build, they built it in a hurry. And going over there and talking to the principal and people over there, there's some major issues with that building, although it's not owned, it's privately owned. This is going to be a borough-owned building, and the design build, does the borough going to have certain specs for that design build? That's the first question. Second question, I read in the paper, I believe, that it's going to be designed with a school in mind, so if Frontieris ever does pull out of there, that building can be utilized for education purposes. So can you kind of describe how that design build and how that's going to work and how the borough has a part of that?
Through the chair. the Frontieris Council has hired an architect to do the upfront documents, which includes the conceptual and specifications. And the more legwork that's done up front, the more safe we are on the backside of getting what we want. And that's how we protect ourselves in these design builds, is putting out a good package right up front that includes a conceptual floor plan and specifications. And that has been done by the charter school.
One follow-up within me. But this is going to be a borough-owned building, is that not correct?
Through the chair, yes, that's correct.
So the borough, again, are you going to have... You're going to have a major part in the design of it because it's going to be your building.
Yes.
Okay. I just was wondering how that would work. And also, I'll save my questions to you later, I guess. I'll give you a call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Through the president, I'd also like to mention there was a question when I attended the assembly meeting in regard to, we have two other elementary schools that are being built for over $20 million. This is about $7 million. How does that happen? And they must be more efficient. And just need to know that what's being built is basically a gym with some offices and a few classrooms. It's just a beginning. It's a start of a building, and it's nowhere near being a whole building. And this is about 3 years in the process, and the district partnered with Frontieris early on in conversations for that. When we built Valley Pathways, many of the portables there were going to be in use by Frontieris during this transition time. They saved their money and funded the movement of those portables to a location. And so this is a phase one, if you will, of a project in hopes of having a full school and a larger school soon. So if that question comes up to any of our board members, I want them to know that it is going to be part of a school initially that's going to grow, and that the district worked with them to assist with portables. And again, it's been a three-year project in discussions with Frontieris. It didn't just happen overnight. So I just wanted to add that.
Are there any other questions from the board? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Additionally, I want to share that some of the discussions in Juneau that came up this past week were perhaps placing a moratorium, if you will, on bond debt service in the future due to the oil prices. So I'm quite happy that we had a large bond and had many of our needs taken care of. We will continue to keep notes on needs in the future and our growth. However, we might not have an opportunity to bond within the next few years, depending on what the legislature does. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention, that that has been placed on the table. And to let the board know that in FY13, 57% of the entire state's budget for bond debt reimbursement went to the Matsubara School District. So that return on our taxpayers' investment of money that's allocated to different boroughs, 57% of bond debt funds in FY13 went right here to our school district, which creates jobs for everyone and beautiful new schools and facilities. So we're happy to say that that was good. So here is, now I'm just going to talk directly on our budget and provide a budget update. As you know, our budget hearings are over, and I'm just going to share where we are. You will find that the budget will be placed on an action item for our next meeting. And we have been discussing really our budget for 6 weeks, taking input, going to our public, receiving input. We're going to share some data with you. The last day of March is the time limit that we have in order to turn a budget over to the borough. And so it will be provided to you at the next meeting. I think someone's driving this PowerPoint. Okay. Somebody. Do we have the next page? So, of course, we've shared this budget calendar. We're right smack dab in the middle of it in March. And the preliminary budget will be transmitted to the borough. And that is a code requirement. And so next meeting again, we'll be ready for action. And I wanted to share with you the budget survey. And I also have a more detailed look that I'll pass to you. The next board packet will share the responses and more detailed information. We just turned the budget, the budget survey off on Saturday. It was running for the whole month of February. So this is a cursory view of the responses. We had 661 respondents to the survey. And I believe our board was concerned about no one showing up to our budget hearings and our budget presentations, but yet we do have quite a few folks taking part in giving their feedback to the school board. Of those 661 respondents, 363 were staff, employees of the district in all levels. Almost 250 were parents and 65 were students in our district. We had 168 male respondents and 438 female respondents. And the overall priorities are in order. So the top three, which we take a look at, of concerns of our 661 responses were school safety, facility maintenance and custodial, and class size. These actually match what our board discussed in their June retreat about maintenance of facilities and keeping them up, providing funds in CIP, as well as keeping our class sizes. I wouldn't say that they were low, but keeping them manageable, as well as school safety, of course, is a priority. We'll share, like I said, additional specific comments, exactly what folks were able to write in as a more detailed look, but wanted to share this very briefly with you so that you'll see what the community has stated. This is good news, and we want to thank the Public Employee Health Trust, or PEHT. The insurance renewal came earlier than expected. We're happy to announce that there is a zero increase. And in our budget, we had a little over $1 million for an increase. Part of that was due to additional employees, but the majority, almost, actually $900,000, was due to estimating a 4% increase. We are happy to announce that with the work from the Public Employee Health Trust of keeping cost to a minimum in health insurance, that reduces our deficit going into the year to $5.5 million rather than $6.4 million. And remember, of that $6.4 million, $2.4 million was acknowledged and understood. We were going into this year using our fund balance. with House Bill 278. However, in the governor's budget in House Bill 278, the one-time funds, formerly called energy funds, were eliminated. And to our district, that was a $4 million impact. $5.5 million every day, it's getting more manageable to take a look at that. And the goal, remember, and what is budgeted as an assumption is that a borough would increase by 3%, which is approximately $1.5 million, and that's already built into our budget. But additionally, we want to request that our fund balance be allowed to remain with the school district. We are, by the ICER study that the borough did commission, the most efficient school district in the state of Alaska. Their own study shared that, and we will spend it well, and we will save it for when shortages such as this in the state budget occur. That's exactly what your fund balance should be used for. And so I want to share with the board that while the $5.5 million deficit looks like a large number, we have planned for it. We have worked with the borough to keep our fund balance. The current fund balance is at a little over $10 million, almost $11 million. It still is only 4.5% of our total budget. The state allows a fund balance of 10%. So we're under half of the fund balance, which is allowable. I would continue to recommend that we use unassigned fund balance to balance our budget, but continue to work with the borough to keep our fund balance, to replenish this fund balance as needed. I do not believe that we need to take such a drastic role in conserving this year. If you recall, 4 years ago, this board took an action to use our ARRA funds, which were the Reinvestment Act provided by the federal government, and rather than hire new positions, we used it to take care of our employees and offer an early retirement. And our largest hit, and that's why for the last 4 years, we have actually had the largest class sizes in the state of Alaska 4 years ago. And you will see our neighbors around the state in Juneau, Kenai, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, they are much more worried than we are about what's happening at the state level. We took care of this approximately 4 years ago, seeing coming down and are softening the blow rather than falling off the cliff, as member Larson mentions, and I don't see that we need to take those drastic changes. What we will find is most likely that around the state, their PTR is going to increase more students in a classroom, similar to Matsu's. And so not that this is a good thing to be first at, to have large class sizes. I do believe that we are sound. I would like to keep, by the survey, you can see maintenance and facilities is a priority, as well as classroom teachers. I don't recommend reductions in either area at this time. And if there's any questions, I can assist in answering them, or Luke Fulp, our businessman. Thank you.
Member Welton.
Concerning the impacts of the early childhood education eliminations of those programs, how is that going to affect us? Just kind of give an overview of that, if you could, please.
Through the chair, Matsu Borough School District has been a recipient of a competitive grant for preschool education. It is year to year, and this past year it was $450,000, and so we do have about five or six preschools around the district. They are scalable. Those are programs for which we will need to cut, because that is a cut in the education budget as well at the Department of Education and Early Development, which is DEED. A lot of times I just call it EED. And that recommendation was made to cut those funds from the department. However, they were pass-through funds. We were one of the competitive four school districts in the state that received it. But those programs were scalable. Those were things that we knew if we didn't have the funds, we wouldn't have the program. So similar to last year, we were in this spot and we, you know, spoke to our borough, things like that. But we were competitive enough to get this grant. So there are, and I can have those posted, the exact programs that are paid for out of the $450,000. But the recommendation would be we would not be able to continue that, those preschools. And again, those are not general fund funded. So those students who attend those are not in our average daily membership. They are not funded through the funding formula called the base student allocation. They specifically were grant funded.
Member Welton.
Of our other programs that are grant funded or one-time monies, what programs would you suspect we will no longer continue?
Through the chair, we are determining now the Associated General Contractors had a grant for construction that was about $160,000 to our school district. We used it for many different purposes. Some were staff, some areas we can fill. We're looking at the budgets now on how to do that, but that is potentially 1.5 positions in career and technical education that was grant funded, also not in the operational funds. There's quite a bit at the state level, ACLIN, but we do our own online, so that's not going to affect us too much. There is a cut in statewide libraries, and I believe that our libraries do have some connection with sharing. I'm not sure exactly which programs there. Most of that was state library employees, so that wouldn't be the school districts. Oh, the online homework help that is going to be discontinued at the state level. And I will have, Member Welton, I can be prepared to have all of those specifically for the board in the Board Connect, as well as share them at the next budget update.
I'm going to call on Member Larson and then be back to you, Member Welton. Member Larson.
On the pre-K, it's being eliminated, but I know before we got the grant, we assisted private pre-K programs, and parents that wanted to prepare their children before they came to kindergarten. Is that going to continue also?
Through the chair, we do invite our preschools to assist in professional development that we have. However, in the past, we would also purchase materials with the funds. We will be unable to have those funds to purchase materials. However, we will continue to partner with our community in teaching practices. When we have professional development for preschool and our other preschools, we do like to invite folks in to assist. It's just that we won't have that line item of curriculum to purchase.
All right, Member Welton.
Thank you. I'm sorry to be a pest. I'm mostly concerned about programs that we find to be very, very successful, other than I know that preschool, the point of preschool, we have evidence. There's all kinds of studies that says that we will gain more money in the community by investing in it now. But I'm concerned about things like the middle college and some of the other programs that we have started that they have been given as grants and monies like that. And I just want to make sure that we publicize what we still have, not just what the cuts are.
Through the president, I thank you, Member Welton. That is a good point to make, and I am delighted to let this board know that the funds for which we had requested for such things, I think we have them around this room, as ROTC and the items that Member Welton mentioned about online learning in middle college, the request initially to start those programs was for the seed money to begin them. And over time, those programs have grown in capacity with student enrollment, as well as like online learning, where it's just part of us now, that those programs, we had expected to wean off from that investment money, and those programs are currently still in the budget and actually are high priorities. I mean, it's a functioning school. The school, we needed the money because middle college can only start with about 45 kids. But now that the enrollment has grown, and it's a separate school site, it's paying for itself without having to have too much additional funds. Online learning is very similar. So we were able to adjust some other class sizes, actually put additional staffing at middle school rather than high school to pick up for some of those courses. So I'm happy and delighted to mention that those still are in our program of studies and in our programs of offerings in the district. And thank goodness we had the investment money already to do those.
Are there any other questions? All right. Dr. Perlman.
I just have one more thing. Don't forget we will put action for the budget next time. And this is the last week prior to spring break. And I just want to be sure that the board was aware of that. And students actually do not have school on Friday. It is a teacher work day to allow them time for their grading and such and planning for the last quarter of this school year. At the next meeting, we will bring a list and begin to sign up for graduation. It's kind of funny to think that we're doing that already, but May will come around this corner soon. So I just appreciate the work, and I hope that our staff and our students have a great break next week. Thank you.
Thank you. That moves us down to the consent agenda.
I move the consent agenda, items A, minutes of February 18th, 2015.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any objection to passing the consent agenda? Seeing no objection, that consent agenda passes. I'd like to take a 10-minute break before we move on to action items. I'm calling the meeting back to order. We're moving down to action items. Action item A.
I move action item A, 15-068, Advanced Path Academics Contract Approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the audience who would like to come speak on this item? And we do not at this time have anyone on the phone who would like to speak on this item. Is there a administrative report?
Madam President, we don't have additional information to add from last meeting. However, we can answer any questions as needed. Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions from the board on this item? Is there any discussion from the board on this item? Seeing no discussion, no questions. Is there any objection from the board to passing this item? Seeing no objection, this item passes. That moves us to item B.
I move action item 15-069, Valley Comprehensive Evening High School Charter Application.
We'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the public who would like to come speak on this item? If you would just come forward and state your name. And we'll have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Dilly Doss. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. The school is designed to assist at-risk students who must work, who are unmotivated, unsuccessful, potential dropouts, migrant or homeless, or students who have already dropped out for whatever reason. Our goals is to get them a diploma, which we know they can get at any other high school in the district. The uniqueness about our school is that it will be in the evening, either from noon to 8 or 1 to 9. And by putting it in these hours, the students who are working during the day can then go to school after work. If they're working a third shift late in the evening, they can go home in the morning, get some sleep, and then come to school and do what they need to do. We've also looked at putting in with it, we want to take these kids and we want to take them from school to work so that they're eligible and they make their own personal goals, professional goals. There at the school, they'll have a life coach, someone to help them with what they need, figuring out what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and just getting them to that point to where they are a successful person within our community. Instead of not being able to get past a minimum wage job due to not having a high school diploma, and not having the skills to be able to help themselves lift themselves up out of that. We put into it an individual work program where it focuses on the academics, and it also encourages the students to capitalize on those strengths and weaknesses, looking at their personal and professional goals. The work program focuses on basic entry-level employment. We want to take them from, have them do a job shadow where they would go out, figure out which field they're interested in, connect with the community, connect with the community businesses, look at the apprenticeship programs that are out there for them. And they need that high school diploma in order to get into those programs. We also would like to, the way we're going to do our curriculum is using core knowledge, supplemental academic intervention, the RTI program, reading intervention, gender-based classrooms, taking care of the whole child, and Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We want to look at, we want to help the student become productive. And the only way we can do that is starting at the ground and building them up. We're looking at the school as a business. We want, oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who would like to speak today on this item? Come forward and state your name.
My name's Adam Thornton. I'd like to speak on behalf of the charter application. So I'd like to come back to something that Ms. Doss had spoken about regarding the graduation requirements of the school. Part of that graduation requirement would be the senior work project. It's going to focus on and include selections of project with staff mentor, planning, resume, portfolios, work shadowing. Some of the things that I've done in my career, I'm a site safety and health officer for Kiewit Building Group, currently building Fort Richardson Barracks. I've also been a union carpenter for the last 10 plus years. One of the opportunities that I've had with Kiewit Building Group is bringing children from the Chugiak School District out onto our job site to perform job shadowing. Having that opportunity, I've been able to talk to them about not only the kids that are wanting to do construction, but kids that want to do other things, that want to be school board members or that want to be teachers or that want to go on and help cut hair or pump gas. It doesn't matter. Just anywhere where they have an opportunity to go out and learn, these kids are just excited to do that. And I think that's going to be one of the major opportunities that the school is going to provide these kids, is coming from an environment in a school where they may not be excited to be there, where they may have trouble at home, where they're going to come to the school to be able to do their job during the day, make a little bit of money for their house, come here, and through job shadowing or through these extremely motivated teachers like Ms. Doss and other teachers that'll be there, they're going to find that excitement for that school, go out to the job, get an experience through that job shadowing, and again, find the motivation to graduate. So I talked about my job as a safety officer. I also do warranty work for another company. Through there, I get to speak with lots of parents, teachers, stuff like that. One of the parents that I had spoken to, I told her I was coming tonight that I'd have an opportunity to speak, and she asked if she could write a letter. So she drafted a letter. She asked me if I'd read it. I'm going to go ahead and try and get through it pretty quick here. She stated, I have 30 years of experience in education and social welfare field, so I understand how important an education is for a young person. I know of three young people who would benefit from having the ability to night school so they can finish their education. Currently, they work day jobs so that they can help support their families. They are unable to attend online courses. Regular school and the current choices available don't meet their needs because of their responsibilities to their family. In some cases, these young people are having to choose between working so that they don't have to live in the street for an education. Survival is what they are going to choose first. If we are going to change a system so that young people can be at a better advantage to better themselves and be more productive members of society, then we must support a night school so that they can complete their high school education, because education is the key to success. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to come forward and speak on this item? All right. Seeing none, I would like to kind of go out of order and give my remarks first. The charter school application for a given school year shall be due by October 1st preceding the school year in which operations are to commence. All charter schools must meet the following requirements in addition to any other requirement established by law, regulation, or school district policy. That is our board policy 6190 under charter schools. In light of the fact that Valley Evening Comprehensive High School proposal and application was submitted well beyond the October 1st, 2014 deadline for consideration, it is in the interest of policy and the interest of the district that I will be voting no on this Valley Evening Comprehensive High School charter school application. I'd like to open it up now for comments from other school board members if they would like to take this time to make comment. Is there any other school board member who'd like to make comment? All right, Member Rutherford, go right ahead.
I guess I have similar concerns as many expressed on our most recent charter school application, besides the deadline, which I agree with you there. But I feel like we have a lot of programs within several of our schools that really do target these same kids. And we do offer a lot of support at Bruchelle and Valley Pathways and through the new PACE program and the advanced path, that if a student is motivated, we can help them work around their limitations of time during the day. And I'm concerned that there wouldn't be enough students to make this viable. And just like before, we don't know because we don't know. Because we don't have the statistics on how many students are not, whose these needs are not being met for.
Is there any other school board member who'd like to make comment before we move to vote? Member Williams.
I'm really interested in the intent of the charter school. I feel like this charter school could be really successful just because I think the ability to allow students who need to work and go to school is a really valiant endeavor. But unfortunately, I was not able to bring this to the Student Advisory Board, and so I cannot give student input as a whole of the district.
Member Larson.
I'm going to not vote in the positive on this issue due to the fact that the deadline is 4 months old. My biggest fear here is to have charter schools applications appearing anytime, any given time of the year, when we do have the rules stipulating October 1, I believe, is the deadline, and then it falls in through the state application form. It's not just like we put those regulations in because we feel it should be there, but it follows suit on when the state school board can meet and through the application process that way. If in fact we accepted this application at this time, there somehow would have to be some sort of exceptions to the state school board seeing them, and I think that's improbability. So I would look forward to seeing this application again this fall, but that they've missed the deadline by 4.5 months.
Member Michelson.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far down the road in talking about the viability of the program and its potential, because I think that if we do vote it down tonight and it does come back, I would look forward to having a potentially a work session to really delve into the need and the program and all of the discussion that we afforded, a previous application as well. So I won't be supporting it moving forward tonight, however.
All right, are we ready for a vote? I'm going to call the members to do a voice vote. Member Dearman?
No.
Member Rutherford?
No.
Member Larson?
No.
Member Welton?
No.
Member Michelson?
No.
And I too vote no, so this item will not pass this evening. That moves us down to action item C, reemployment of tenured teachers.
I move action item C15-077, reemployment of tenured teachers.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any member of the audience who would like to come forward and speak on this action item? Can we have an administrative report, please?
Thank you, Madam President. At this time, I would like to bring forward to you 903 FTE teacher contracts for the school year FY16, moving into next year. Statute allows us to accept and pass these contracts through May. However, I believe we demonstrated in our budget that we will need the positions. We are going to continue with our programs, and it would be nice to let these folks know that they can sign their contracts and their jobs are secure for FY16 so that good teaching remains throughout the rest of the year. Following this meeting, I do want to let you know that we will be bringing our other programs forward as well, such as some non-tenured teachers, some Type M, but we do like to provide our tenured teachers with their contracts as early as we can. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Dr. Paramo? All right, is there any discussion from the board? All right, is there any objection from passing this item forward? Seeing no objection, this item passes. I do want to take a minute and say that this is groundbreaking for our school district. Last year we did pass forward teacher contracts a little bit earlier. But when I first got on the board, and I know I sound like Member Welton, when I first got on the board, it came right down to the very deadline of when we needed to pass contracts, and there was always talk of pink slips, and we really appreciate our teachers and our staff, and we want to help them feel as secure in their jobs as they can. Thank you. Member Larson.
If you don't mind, I'd like to add to that too. And I don't believe it was the way it was done because the budget was so unsure for the next year. It was never transparent, and it was never online, and it was never predicted. So we always came down at the last minute, which caused a lot of anxiety. And I also agree, thank you, Dina Paramo and staff, for being able to do that. So we can look at a budget and say, yes, we can pass tenured teachers because we know that money will be there and where it's coming from. And it's all right there in front of us. And I appreciate that a lot. That makes decision ability very easy for this kind of a decision. Thank you very much.
All right, we have no non-action items tonight, so that moves us right down to future items, future business. On March 18th, we will be looking at the budget. Budgets always change, but we will be turning in our best guess to the borough, so we'll be looking at that at our next meeting. We'll also be looking at a new member. We will have a interview of the applicants and new members in the middle of the next meeting. And so we will be selecting our new member at that next meeting. Then we have April 1st. It is the special recognition meeting here. That's always one of my favorites. That starts at 5. And then at 6 will be the regular meeting. And April 14th, we will be meeting with the Borough Assembly for our joint meeting. It traditionally has been scheduled during spring break, and they have deemed to move it to April 14th for us. So we will be meeting with them. Are there any other items members of the board would like to see on the agenda for these next upcoming meetings? Or are there any other meetings that we need to note and be aware of? Member Welton.
I think I've asked a while ago for an update on the ID program, and just would like to know a little bit more about how that's going and any recruitment efforts to get more students into that program.
You are right, you have asked for it, and I'm sorry it's not on an agenda yet. Member Michelson.
Just a reminder too that I'd like to get a presentation on our new safety coordinator for the district as well. So I'm sure that's probably upcoming, but I just wanted to make note of that again.
All right, Dr. Perlmo.
Thank you. Administration and I will work to get those updates to you. And I did deliberately place the safety officer update into May in hopes that our new member would be established and be able to receive that information as well. So it would either be the second meeting in April or the beginning in May is when I requested for him to come forward to do that. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
I know it's early, but our May 20th meeting is at Big Lake, before school gets out, we should ask around and see what school would love to host us in the fall.
Okay, I like going to those other schools. All right, seeing no more suggestions, we will move down to persons to be heard on non-agenda items. Madam Clerk.
Same rules apply as previously. State your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes, and be nice.
Is there any member of the audience who would like to come forward and speak? All right, seeing no one, we will move on to correspondence and board committee reports. We had a board committee that was canceled on Monday the 1st. So I think that's been 3 months that board meeting, joint meeting, has been canceled. Member Dearman.
On Monday, the Academic Advisory Council for Mat-Su Central School met, and it was a very productive meeting. We are one step closer to a new mission and vision statement, and thank you to Mr. Cassette for leading us through this endeavor. And I would say that by the meeting in April, or definitely in May, we will have a new vision and mission statement for Mat-Su Central School. Also at that meeting, we had a presentation for the group that was presented as a result of the INACOL conference that Principal Brown and Laura and Jesse attended in San Francisco. And it was very interesting. It's the central focus of it was on personalized learning. And as we went around the group and asked everyone what personalized learning meant to them, everyone had a different meaning. But since personalized learning is one of the central tenets of the mission statement and vision of Mat-Su Central School, it brought the whole day's activities together. So that was a very sound presentation, and it meant a great deal to the group. And we are going to do more with that in April and May. And I'm sure that you will be hearing more about that from either myself or Mr. Michelson during those months. And that's about it. Thank you.
Member Larson.
Under a board committee reports or correspondence, would this be a proper time or during comments to talk about the Juneau trip?
Why don't you go right ahead and talk about the Juneau trip?
All right, thank you. It was a committee that went down. We were kind of asked to come down at that time, and it wasn't very optimistic down in the legislative area, but we were very optimistic. We were able to get into most of our legislators and the governor's office, and what we brought forward is what this board has been talking about for the last year or better, and that's being very optimistic in what we're doing. And what we talked a lot about is, they talked about, of course, we lost money this year through the one-time money, but they were also talking about cutting the BSA in fiscal 2017, like only funding up to 95% of that. And what we talked pretty lengthy about is, we would like them to come forward with like a three-year money plan so we can plan. So we can be very optimistic in getting through this without total doom and gloom. And I believe what we related from this board is that we're looking forward, well, not really, but we're going to look forward into the future in this economic downturn on how to get through it successfully so we can maintain our programs, we can continue to educate our kids, and keep our staff very optimistic and assure that we're going to work our fingers to the bone to make sure we don't cut necessary programs and things. And that was kind of enjoyable, talking about that, because our legislative body are not in a very joyful mood, I guess we say. There's a lot of doom and gloom. But we look at it as, like Dr. Promo says, the glass is half full, and we're going to go forward, and we're going to challenge this, and we're going to get it done. So we also learned quite a bit about, a lot of insight down there. It didn't seem as... like the years I've been down there before, it didn't seem very pleasant. They're stuck on a one-line area. So by showing a return on investment on the money that they did give us and what we're going to do with that investment, I think we encouraged, for the first time, we encouraged Juneau delegation that we are going to make it through with no problem. That's the optimistic point of view, and we're going to continue to do that.
Thank you, Member Larson. That means I don't need to report on our trip.
I got one other thing, if we can, about meetings and joint committee. Carly, you had a very successful joint meeting. I've often wondered, give me your opinion, would it be a successful board-to-board meeting, do you think, if we would ever do that or not? Anchorage board and our board?
Well, our meetings are always really lively, and you might enjoy it. I don't know. We love meeting new students and hanging out and talking about being student leaders, so yeah. It would be fun if it was like school board to school board and both student advisory boards. I would totally root for that. So, yeah.
Member Rutherford.
I have a question about the DEEDS regional conferences they're going to have on the benefits and disadvantages of prototypical school design and construction in Alaska. I know we're having one more meeting before that. That's at the end of the month. But first of all, I think we need to pass that flyer around and get a lot of our community to this. I think it's important that we have input on this. because I'm curious as to what they're trying to do here. I mean, we have trouble designing a prototypical school that works from one end of our valley to the other end of the valley, let alone all over the state. So I'm a little unsure what their goal is here, really. So I think it's important. And also, it was my understanding from what our attorney said, our weekly newsletter said that we need to be careful to not have a quorum show up at that, but it's a public meeting, and I thought it was okay. I mean, we're not going to sit over in a corner and discuss school business, but if there end up to be four of us at this thing, I thought last time we asked the attorney, he said that it was okay.
I don't believe we have to notice it, and it's not something we're going to vote on in the future.
Right.
So I think it would be fine if a majority of the school board members showed up at it. Mm-hmm. We would just need to make sure we weren't discussing
huddling in a corner
business.
Got
yes.
It.
Yes.
It's the 31st at Valley Pathways School from 4 till 7. They're having 7 of them around the state, and that's the Mat-Su one.
And they will post that on the website also.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're down to comments from school board and administration. Dr. Paramo.
Yes, I would, since our last meeting, just like to announce that not only is our assistant superintendent of business doing a great job with the district, he's also ensuring future class loads. He is a new father to his second young daughter. Little Cora was born last Tuesday. And so I just wanted to congratulate him. And I don't have any further things, but I do know, Carly, I think we might miss you just as much as your parents when you go off to college next year. You are the wisdom of the board many times. So that I didn't mean that as a cut down. I was just saying, I love her. Sorry. But Mr. Fulp or Mr. Stone, do you have any additional comments? Oh, that's correct. This is celebrating his birthday. Thank you.
Member Williams.
Speaking of the joint meeting, I want to thank everyone again, especially Ms. Dowquist from Dr. Prama's office. She was amazing helping us put on the meeting. And also, we really hope that this joint meeting continues into as many years as SAB is in existence, because we're already looking at doing joint projects and joint resolutions. To tackle issues that urban schools face. So we hope that program continues. And then I want to invite all of you to our next meeting on March 31st at Teelan Middle School. It's going to be from 9 to noon. It's going to be our second meeting of the month so that we don't have a meeting in May while everyone's prepping to get their grades done and take their finals. So we have 2 in March. So please help. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Dearman.
On Monday, I had the pleasure of celebrating Dr. Seuss's birthday at Tenina Elementary. And I would like to thank Mrs. McCormick, Mr. Raines, Mrs. Miller, Mrs. Rivas, and Mrs. Hawker for allowing me to share the wisdom and the very tongue-tying words of Dr. Seuss with their classes. I also want to give a shout out to Mr. Raines and his students for teaching me the gummy bear dance. It is going to live with me for a very long time, and I can see why it is such a stress reliever for kindergarten children. While reading, I did some teaching with the older students, the third and the fourth graders, and we read One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, and I taught them some American Sign Language signs, and so when they heard certain words, their hands were up in the air signing, and it was a very enjoyable morning. Austin Grimes did a great job putting the whole event together, and so thank you to everyone at Tenina for such an enjoyable morning. And I've been doing some school visits, And things are good, except we had very icy roads up north this morning. And so thank you, Dr. Paramo, for your wisdom in closing our schools. I'm sure everybody enjoyed that today. Good meeting tonight. Thank you for the bond update. And everyone have a very safe, happy, and wonderful spring break. Thank you.
Member Rutherford.
I think I'd just like to use my comments to make a little plug for music teachers everywhere. And you know the saying, penny wise and pound foolish. I was observing music teachers print off sheet music for fifth grade band. And yes, my son's in fifth grade band. When you print it on a regular sheet of paper, anyone who knows sheet music, it's usually larger than that, so you have to shrink it. You have to use all that ink in the copier and all those copies. And so I question, it seems like educators should get a discount on sheet music. And on things like that, because I actually did question, partly because I was waiting to use the copier, and all the sheet music kept coming out. And I said, can't you just buy sheet music? Pre-printed sheet music, it's better. Plus, I was noticing that what my son was bringing home was tiny little staff lines, you know, on a regular 8.5 by 11. And right or wrong, I was told, no, we get one master and then we have to make copies. So that, you know, that may not have been a district level decision, but it just doesn't make sense to me. And I know lots of that happens throughout the district. Sometimes it's like little kid whisper game. By the time it gets down to someone who's actually implementing something, they don't have it quite right, because that just didn't make sense to me. I'm sure you can buy bulk sheet music for pretty darn close to as cheap as you can print off all that sheet music on a copier at the price of toner these days. So I just want to make that little plug for music teachers everywhere. That's it. Thanks.
Member Larson.
I went to various schools this last couple weeks. One of them was a school talent show, and I was at an elementary school, and I was just absolutely amazed at some of the talent that these kids had. There was for instance, a third and a fifth grader who were brothers, did a piano ensemble at different times, and I often think, and I know we do this, that those kids, when they go into middle school, being taught music, being taught being able to play, I'm sure are going to be able to be into advanced classes, you know, because we've talked a lot about seat time versus the knowledge. It was phenomenal to watch these kids. I also watched one child that was in second, or maybe it was third grade, and she stood up there with a sketch pad on a board, and she would ask the audience, what do you want me to draw? The audience would give her something, and she would draw it out within a minute and a half. And it was just phenomenal to watch that. And I'm thinking again, you know, she has this talent, and how can we continue that without, you know, put them into the basics? But that's something different that we'd talk about. But it was phenomenal to watch them. It's like watching any elementary school band or drama or anything that those elementary kids are doing so well in advance. Also, Dr. Dierman, I will be going in and reading tomorrow at an elementary school, and elementary kids scare me to death. So, so I will probably break out in a sweat as I read and try to keep their attention. And I think Member Welton may be going to the same school I'm going to, and hopefully it'll be successful. I know it will be. But I really enjoy that also, to grab those kids' attention and to have fun with them. Thank you.
Member Welton.
That's a great lead-in. Yes, I did read also at Tenina, and I did a rod on Monday. I read the same book to kindergartners as to fourth graders, as to third graders, first graders. I got the same kind of reaction. It was a book that we all know, it's Where the Wild Things Are. It wasn't Dr. Seuss. I was surprised at how many children really didn't know what rumpus meant. So I put that up on my Facebook page. It was hilarious how many people didn't understand that. And I taught the students what it meant, and I taught them about rumpus. But we had an excellent time because everybody knows how to roar. Everybody knows how to roll their eyes. Everybody knows how to show their claws. And so we had a great time with that. So I love it. And the other thing is when I get into the schools, I love to see the artwork. I love to see the creativity. I love to see the little writing examples on the walls. And I do spend time going through and looking at those things. And it is one of the greatest things as to why I'm on the school board. Also, I went to the ANSEP dinner last night, and that was wonderful to find out what our middle school ANSEP students will be doing, and going through the process to look at science and engineering for our Native students. A fantastic program, and I hope that we will continue to support that because I really find that that is a great thing. And I got to sit with a family and talk about all the things that can be learned and all the scary things about going away from home for 10 days and living on a college campus and how wonderful that is that our students get to do that so that they get to see what college life is like. It gets to prepare them to look forward to going to college or some other kind of experience after high school. Thank you.
Member Michelson.
You know, I too went to the ANSEP dinner last night and sat with two families. And the children of those in those families were as excited about going to this ANSEP Academy as if they were going to summer camp. I mean, it was really interesting how really motivated and excited they were and how supportive their parents were and things. So that was really nice. This room was full of families that were really getting excited about that. And having a nice meal to go with that and time to visit and stuff, Mr. Stone. That was a really good program last night, so thank you for that. We met last, I attended Shrek the Musical. It was put on by Colony High and Colony Middle, and that was quite a show. And being at the Glenn Massey Theater just kind of gives it that little, kind of that big time atmosphere kind of a thing, and that. That was really entertaining. The kids did a really, really great job, and they had the band in the orchestra pit, and it was just like a real show, you know, like you might see at the PAC in Anchorage. So it was good to see the middle school kids involved in that production as well, mixed in with the older kids. Also did a couple of school visits, Mattsu Central School. Got to take a look at the PACE program. I hadn't been up there, so took a look at that, and then had a kind of a budget visit with Mike Furfalo and Luke Fulp in reference to our funding for the Massachusetts Central School, and got to get some of my questions answered for that. So I appreciate your availability for those things, and then the budget survey that we closed out. We had about 600 total respondents. About 300 were teachers and staff, and the number one response being safety and security, as I recall, and then maintenance of our buildings, and then class size. So I thought that was kind of interesting, 1, 2, 3 from that, and a high representation of teachers and staff, which I think is really good. And I think it just kind of kind of tie in the value that we place on buildings and infrastructure as kind of the way that we view kids, the way we view education, and seeing how nice the PACE program is and how well cared for that very small facility is, that you wouldn't know you were in portals at all, I think is something we need to make sure that we keep, because that's what people want, and that's what I think kids deserve. And then region basketball in Kenai this year, which is a shame. I wish it was here in the Valley. We're likely to have be well represented at state here in a couple of weeks following that. So that's all that I have.
Thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about our trip to Juneau. It was weirdly enough nice to go down to Juneau because we found that our local legislators really support us. The governor saw us and wanted to talk about our school district and the respect he had for our school district. It was very nice to go and be well received down in Juneau. Our financial situation isn't great, but we are not like some of the other school districts that run around, saying the sky is falling, and have upheaval in their communities. Parents, students upset, teachers upset. We choose as a board not to do that. That does not mean that we are out of the woods. If we end up taking $6 million out of our fund balance, that's more than half of the fund balance we've worked really hard to save. So for people out there listening and for members of the board, I don't want you to lobby hard the borough assembly, but if you happen to see them in passing, if you can just let them know that you think schools are important and ask for their support for the schools and for the children in our valley. We do need to get that 3% and hopefully be able to keep our fund balance so we can continue offering what our students need to move forward. So with that, yes, Member Rutherford. Yes. Yes, okay. So the culinary students, if you don't know, if you didn't go to the governor's ball, the culinary students at Job Corps and Career Tech did the food for the governor's ball. They also did the food for AFS, which is a service provider, Alaska Family Services here in the Valley. They also did the food for their yearly fundraiser, and it has been excellent. They rival any catering group here in the Valley. They did a wonderful job. So a shout out to them. And with that, if someone can take us into adjournment.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. We are adjourned.